Ready when you are, guys.
Okay. Right. Hi, everyone. This Hello, is everyone. The fifth. The fifth Living from the Inside Out. And you may have noticed that we have the beautiful Scotty. Lynn Robertson today helping us out to be able to switch you on and off and kind of make sure that everybody gets their comments and questions answered. So the reason Lynn's here today, I mean, she does this an awful lot on Michael's other calls, but the reason that Lynn's here today is that we have, if you've not seen it, we have some news about the lovely Sarah. We have to say that Sarah won't be with us on the Living from the Inside Out calls. And in fact, she has left the building, and she has now gone on to do some amazing projects that she's been wanting to do for a long while. Right, okay, now we've now we're on week five, as I was saying, and the Michael's video was about performance and flow, and I'm really, really interested to hear about everybody's experience of what he means about performance and flow. The one thing that he said that really landed true for me was when he said, you know, when we're not up in our heads, we have a just-in-time function. That just when we need it, the right thought arrives. And for years and years and years, I obviously I didn't know about this until the three principles, but I as a musician, I've spent a long time and a lot of hours playing music, sort of recording and live, and my experience has been with music that somehow I always knew that if I was playing a particular song, if I knew that there was going to be a particularly tricky bit coming up, I would make a point of not thinking about it. I would make a point of somehow knowing that if I was trying to work it out ahead of time, if I was trying to prepare myself for this tricky passage, it would be a train wreck. So I kind of learnt just by playing so much that it was much more effective for me to wait until the time when that section was going to be played and launch myself into it without having the preparation, without trying to work it out. And for me, what happened in that and those moments was not only would I play the part as it should be played, but there was a kind of freedom, there was a sense of space that allowed me to do what needed to be done, but I could also be really creative on top of it. And I thought that was just a function of me playing for 40 years. I just thought it was something that I had some kind of technical expertise that I'd learned that I knew would save the day if I needed it. So when I came to the principles, what was really a real eye-opener for me was, and I think I might have alluded to this in the first week, was when I still felt that I had to prepare for everything. I still felt that I needed to have an answer pre-worked out because I was so insecure that I didn't want to get it wrong. So when it first came to Living from the Inside Out, I if I could get away with it, I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't talk. And I wouldn't write on the Facebook page. And then And then what happened over time is that the more programs I did with Michael, the more situations where I felt insecure and didn't want to be in the moment, the more Michael, kind of, bless him, would call on me, and because he knew. So I started out, so say living from the inside out, I would have like a pre-prepared answer for something that I'd worked out, so that if I got called on, I would say something. And then what would happen is, you know, sort of over time, he would ask me, I'll come out with my pre-prepared answer, which sounded really, really, really flat. And it probably wasn't answering the question that he was asking. And then he would ask me again later on, you know, and because he knew that I wouldn't have anything up there. And what happened was, because I didn't have anything in my head, and because I was just opening my mouth and saying whatever came to me in that moment, just in time. Okay, it stumbled a little bit to start with, but eventually something came out that was really fresh and really relevant and much more impactful than it was when I pre-prepared it. And I was thinking about, I think it was Linda last week, and she did the same thing. She was really brave, and she said she came on and she opened her mouth and she said, I really don't have anything to say, and I'm really, you know, I just want to get this out. And then as soon as she got a little bit quiet, as soon as she stopped looking at what she ought to do and what she thought she should say, and she just started talking from that place of quiet, and something came through, and she ended up saying some of the most beautiful things that I could have heard in that moment, and that they really touched me. And now I have begun to really trust that place of, it's not that we don't prepare, you know, I think we use our intellect as well, but there's something about, instead of looking to everything that we already know, everything that we have in our database, and we want to be good, we want to make an impression, we want to look to be competent. Instead of looking in that direction, I'm getting more used to trusting, getting quiet, and watching the words form and watching the words come out of my mouth. And in a lot of cases, what happens is when I see something and I try to articulate it, there's a process that goes on when I'm looking to that space, that fresh place of inspiration that actually brings out something new, that brings out, when I'm trying to articulate something I already know, somehow something deeper comes out as well. And I'm finding that in when I'm writing. I used to really, really hate writing blogs and stuff, and I still don't do a massive amount, but I have to do a lot more than I used to. I used to be scared of it, but now I'll just write the first sentence and then see what happens, see how it comes out. When I'm talking, I'm no longer scared of being, of silence. I'm no longer scared of getting it wrong, because I've learned that much more impactful things come out from that fresh place, from that new place. Much more relevance comes through. And I'm seeing that in all the areas of my life. Whereas it used to be just music for me, everywhere else, I had no confidence. I had to prepare. I had to have PowerPoints. I had to have all sorts of things that would back me up, because I didn't trust myself. Now, not always, but pretty much most of the time, I tend to trust that space of the unknown. I trust that just in time kind of wisdom, because time and time again over the last couple of years, it's proved so much more powerful, so much more relevant. So I think that's what Michael was talking about, hopefully. What do you think, Mo?
Well, that was beautiful, Steph. I actually just watched the video.
Yeah, Mo's been hanging on to the side of the house while the hurricane has been blowing around her. She's been holding on to her chickens on the ground.
Yeah, we got a hurricane here where I live. So I've been here 54 years. This is the worst we've seen. We've been blessed all these years, and we were still blessed today. But I wanted to go back first, because on what I was thinking of when I saw the video, because we haven't had power cell service, we've been without. Okay, I got my excuse. But when I did the apprenticeship with Michael last year, we had gone to lunch one day, breakfast. And he had a call at 9 o'clock, a class. I can't remember which class he was teaching. And it got to be like 8:45, and we're still eating breakfast at this cafe. And I said, don't you have a class in 15 minutes? And he said, oh, yeah, I guess my timer didn't go off. But he just got up, paid the bill, not nervous. We go back up the hill to his house. We go in. He goes into his office, he opens the computer with like 2 minutes to spare, turns it on, and he does his class. After that, 5 minutes later, he had a 5 or 10 minute break. He had an interview with Michael Bernard Beckwith, which is another Hay House author that's on Hay House Radio. They were interviewing Michael for his book, Living from the Inside Out. So he goes straight into the interview, a live interview. Well, I guess they recorded it. Michael recorded it. But with Michael, and so I'm listening because he had it on speakerphone. And Michael's pacing across, back and forth across the room, just talking. You know, Michael and Michael, right? They're asking questions. And as soon as he got off of that, there wasn't 5 minutes, because he told him, he goes, guys, I've got to go. My radio show starts in 5 minutes. He gets off of that interview, which is to be aired on Hay House, and then he turns around, goes straight to his microphone, to his setup for his radio show. He gets right on and does a live radio show. And I thought, wow. There was no preparation. He just showed up. And that, to me, was worth everything in the apprenticeship, was just seeing that flow. There was nothing on it. And he just flowed through all three. And then after that, it was like, well, how about lunch? I was exhausted watching him. But he did. He just showed up. I took a lot from that, because even though I do real estate, the biggest part I take from all this now is when I'm with anyone in any capacity, even at home with my children, a friend, I try to, when somebody starts speaking now to me or telling me something, I totally stop, try to stop what I'm doing and pay attention. Because sometimes it's not exactly what they're saying. You feel, you can kind of feel in between their words. Instead of, you know, continuing to cook and somebody's chatting to you, or you're at work on the computer and somebody's talking, I just totally stop and turn around and give that person that time. Because in that, as Steph was saying, things flow through you. All of a sudden, something you wouldn't have thought of will flow to you to respond to that person. Whereas when you're multitasking, you miss wisdom. You're just going, what I call ego. You're just doing your thing. You're just going through the motions. You're not really playing out the greater part that's within us all. And like Steph said, I just went through a hurricane. We had a hurricane here where over 100,000 people, we all had to evacuate. Because my daughter was due to have a baby at any moment, we were not able to get further enough away from the city. So we did stay. We couldn't stay at our home because we're on the coast. So we did go into the city and stay at a hotel. And years ago, about 10 years ago, we had to evacuate for a hurricane. And at that time, you know, I took all the pictures. I took all the stuff. You know, they tell you to put stuff in a container, take, you know, photographs, things that you can't replace. And this time when I went to leave, it was just like, none of that mattered anymore. There wasn't anything I wanted to take, you know, except us. We put a few change of clothes, some food in case we get stuck, because they totally, I don't know if anybody's ever been to the, everything is shut down. Gas stations, there's not a convenience store, no restaurants, everything shuts down. And even though we were lucky, we stayed at one of the few remaining hotels in the city. The rest of them evacuated. There was only a handful that stayed open. The rest evacuated. Even if you were staying at a hotel, you could not leave the hotel. And then by a certain time, you had to be in your room. I mean, it was really almost like a war zone. It looks like a war zone. When you walk outside, there's not, you're in a major city and there's no cars on the street. There's nothing opened. But also it was a piece of a place of quiet. But what I was getting to, what I wanted to say was the storm is coming, hurricane, and I've got baby on the brain, daughter having baby and hurricane. And so I kept going in and out of what was outside of me and what was inside. Trying not to get wrapped up in the outside world. But one of the big things I saw from this, as I was sitting there with 100 mile per hour winds beating on the window, and we got over 12 and a half inches of rain. So if anybody knows how much rainfall that is, that's a lot of rain. We got 12 and a half inches of rain. I saw life. I was sitting there in the bed, and it was almost like it was a you know, those little tunnels you walk through at a fair or a circus. You used to go to that little thing, and if you have to try to walk through it, but it keeps spinning. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. That's kind of how I pictured life. Life is still coming at you no matter what you do. It's coming at you. There's no stopping it. There's no slowing it down. That storm came. There was no stopping that storm. There was nothing you could do about it. And what I saw was, yeah, you might get hit the sides of that tunnel, like a cheese grater or something, get a little few scratches on you, but you just stand right back up and you'll heal. You just keep on going. But no matter what you do, you can't stop what's going on outside. but you can control what goes on in here. And it was a real big balance of anxiety, like one minute, oh my God, please don't go in labor because we cannot leave the building. You can't get to the hospitals. How I deliver a baby, to the next thought would be, everything's fine. There's nothing you can do. And if it happens, it'll all be okay. And, you know, so, and there again, I mean, that tunnel was just spinning and spinning. And I knew life was just coming at me. And I just thought, oh, it's okay. It'll be all right. And we did. We all made it through. It does look like a war zone. That's exactly everybody's words here. Every other house has a tree in it. There'll be weeks and weeks of people without power and water here. We are lucky. Somebody said to me, said, you must be living right. Y'all live on the coast, on the ocean, with two docks, and a house flat on the ground, and we had no water, no damage to our property. So, but that's just, you know, one house would be perfectly safe. The next one is demolished. But I only know one loss of life in our area, of a man who wanted to stay home to protect his home. His family evacuated, and a tree did come down and killed him while he was in his bed. But that is the only death we know of in this area. So we were very blessed here on the East Coast. But all I say is life keeps coming. And when it gets rough, just go back in and hold on. That's all I can say. But, and as far as Michael said, homework, I believe he said, take note on when you know you're not in that place. I know when I'm not, he said he loses his sense of humor. For me, we have a cat. And I like cats as long as they're outside. I don't like a cat in the house. They scare me, and I'm kind of allergic to cats anyway. So I don't like the cat to come in the house. But the cat always wants to run in every time I open the door because he knows I'll give him a treat to come back out. So I'll throw his treat, and then he runs back out. And some days that cat will aggravate me, like, get away, you're not coming in. And then other days it doesn't bother me. I know I just open the door, he'll run in, I grab his treat, he runs back out. And that's simple. But on the days that the cat aggravates me, then I know that's my signal now that I know I'm not off. It's not the cat, it's me. And another thing, you know, if somebody starts getting on your nerves a little bit, then I know that's me. I'm caught up, I'm going too fast, and I need to step back. Because they're not doing anything. It's me. The way I'm seeing it, it's not them. So, Steph, I don't know. You want to kind of hear what other people have to say about that?
Yeah, I think I would love, you know, we've talked quite a long time now. I would love to hear what anybody has by way of observation or questions about maybe what Michael said in the video or about something that's just come up in the last week that you want to talk about. We'd really love to sort of get your take on where you are, check in with you, see where you are with all this.
And it doesn't even bring on Winston. He's got his hand raised. I'm going to unmute you, Winston. Bring you on. Yay!
Hi, Winston.
Both hands raised.
Hey,
Maureen. That was probably one of the best, nicest. I can find more adjectives, but description of living from the inside out, I think I've ever heard. And I admire your willingness, ability, and dedication to go with what you've learned because it works. That was awesome, you know, simply stated. May I ask where you live?
Savannah, Georgia.
So, I live in Virginia Beach, and I got 12 inches of rain and a lot of wind, but I got nothing. So, you know, I understand and appreciate that. And also, my bride's dad lives on Edisto Beach. Are you familiar with that?
Right above us.
And he has, yeah, they have not gone back there yet. They have not been allowed back on the island. So if you think you're blessed, I'm blessed. You know, I truly got, you know, nothing out of the whole thing. And but I did find comfort in saying in our preparations and everything, and just believing that, you know what, everything's going to be okay. I've done all I can do. Right. And I went to sleep and slept well on Saturday night.
I'm glad you did.
Well, I also didn't have to evacuate. So, you know, anyway, back to, you know, what we're discussing. I'm an avid golfer and believe that the golf is truly a metaphor for a lot of life. And if you don't play, you don't understand that. But the best round that I ever had, it was amazing the degree to which I was in the zone. And things just simply happened, you know, like you only hope for, but it's because I never pushed it. You know, I never got ahead of myself. I stayed with each individual shot. And you know, just believed in what was happening, and it did. And which is really what you just described, you know, for us. And it you want to be there, but we resist. And a lot of the reasons I think we resist is because we've been raised to believe that everything is an outside-in proposition, and that everything is to be judged. And if I allow here, this word's going to come to me. You know, we're judged and we expect things to just happen based totally on somebody else's idea of what should be. And I find it sometimes really difficult to move past it, although I'm getting better all the time. And what I would really appreciate some discussion on is the inside out, the three principles, and the inside out reality of life as it relates to goals. And interesting, because I've fought with that for a long time. And interestingly, in Michael's blog, last week, part one, and this week, part two, which I read this morning, he addressed that. And you know, how do you deal with that? And just, well, just a general discussion on that would be very much appreciated.
So in when you say goals, Winston, have you got anything in mind that you're thinking about, anything in particular?
Nothing in particular, just general. You know, I'm a baby boomer. Mm-hmm. And you know, we changed the world once, we can do it again. I hope we decide to do that. Okay. But the world and the outside in world in which we grew up, you know, involved meeting society's expectations as to, you know, what we attain in life and, you know, both personally, quote unquote, personally, business wise, our goals in business, where we end up, you know, I'm going to accomplish this, or our company's going to accomplish that. Just goals in general, because I've never been settled with it, and I've never, I don't know, it's never been a big deal with me in the end. But I would definitely like to accomplish more. So, okay, is that mixed up enough?
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. Yeah. Now, This is the gospel according to Steph. This is not necessarily a prescription or something that you know that everybody follows. But I think what I've found in life
is that at one time, you know, when I, because I've had a couple of businesses and I've been through the process. So in order for my business to be successful, in order for me to be successful, I need to plan ahead and I need to have goals in order to have something to aim for. And I think society tells us that that's what we have to do. And I think what I see differently now is that when I set myself a goal and I aimed in that direction and I was measuring myself against that goal as I was progressing towards it or maybe away from it, the more I was invested in the outcome of that goal, the more fixed that goal was in my head, that, you know, whether it be an amount of money that I had to earn or whether it was a number of clients I had to get, some rule that I'd set up, that along the way, at some point, I would fall short. You know, it was like, right, I'm here now and I want to be there. And the desire to be there, the distance between where I was and where I wanted to be, was causing me a lot of suffering. It was causing me a lot of thinking. You know, it would be, well, why aren't I there? Why can't I do that? And what does that mean about me? And if I don't do this, then how can I do that? And I think what I see now is I went through a period of when I first came to the principles was, okay, I don't need goals now. I can just let it all unfold and it's all going to be great. And now I'm seeing, it's why it's such a great question, because now I'm seeing that to a certain extent, I have let quite a lot unfold without having a particular direction to aim for. But what I'm seeing more and more of now is that I can have, instead of a fixed goal, a certain amount of money I have to earn, a certain amount of people I have to know, a certain place in life that I have to be, what I can do is I can have an intention rather than a fixed goal. So I can say, well, it would be really cool to be able to serve this particular part of the community. It would be really cool to be able to write a book. It would be really cool to be able to sell a program into this particular community. But the intention and pointing in that direction and doing what we were talking about earlier, being able to get some clarity about which direction I want to go in, rather than I must achieve this or it means this about me. Just having clarity of intention frees me up to channel the universe, to be able to hear my wisdom. When I have a fixed goal and it has to be that way and a particular shape for how I need my life to be, my head fills up with all sorts of questions and thoughts. When I'm kinder to myself and more gentle and I see a possibility, I see a potential, I see something that I would really like, but I don't have too much expectation and too much attachment to that outcome. I just know that I'm heading in that direction. That gives me some space, that gives me some freedom of mind, and that allows along the way it allows me to hear the guidance. Now I might never get there, but what I'm allowing myself to do is to take all the little, you know, all the little
side routes along the way, but I'm still heading in the right direction. So for me, a goal is a direction rather than a destination, and it's an adventure getting there, rather than being a journey that I have to realize, a journey that I have to end up in the right place. Because if it's just a direction, then there are so many more possibilities that open up along the way. And it frees my head, it gives me space to see those possibilities. Does it make any sense at all to anybody?
That makes a ton of sense. That thank you. That was really, really well stated. You know, 'cause I'll share this with you really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I say to my bride, I said, wouldn't you like to be in my head? And she goes, no. That's okay. Sometimes I don't want to be in there either. but you know, yes, that, yes, thank you.
I mean, I see it just as a way of saying, look, universe, this is kind of the direction I want to go. Can you give me some help? Give me some help, please. And that seems a lot cleaner and a lot more flexible than and a lot less painful than hitting myself over the head when I wasn't getting there, you know.
I'm certainly guilty and have often hit myself over the head a lot. Because it seemed like all I ever did was chase what somebody else thought I should be doing. Or let me restate that. What my perception of what somebody else thought I ought to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and happiness and contentment never comes from that. And it has created so many problems.
Yeah.
One of those revelations that I had in life, was I've truly caused myself most of the problems in my life that I've experienced because I expected somebody else to behave in a manner in which I thought they should. Well, the reverse of that is also true.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Winston.
Thank you.
And Winston, there's a couple of videos that I can think of where Michael talks about goals exactly and maybe the context that would be helpful. So I'll dig them out and I'll post them in the Facebook group for you.
You're a lady and a scholar. I don't care what Michael says when you're not around, you know.
this is Michael Winston. This is alter ego.
Yeah. You know, let me get this book down because I swear he's gotten good looking.
Yeah, he's got a proper accent as well now.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I know.
It's amazing. Zoom, you know, the internet. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So, is there anybody else who's had any observations or any questions or comments about what we've talked about today or last week about what Winston's talking about?
So I'm going to bring on Rex because he has got his hand raised. Okay, Rex, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Hey, Rex.
Hi. Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. Good morning, depending on where you are.
Hey, Rex.
Hi. I keep on thinking, right, I've emptied my mind and into it has popped this idea and I've completely got it. And so, for example, I'm making calls to people and connecting, and I think, right, this is the next person to talk to, and I'm completely unable to filter anything between trying to run 100 miles an hour versus stop still. And when I think, right, I've completely got it, then each time I find that I haven't a clue. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work out the way that I think. So I find myself, well, it's just either I'm blasting along at 100 miles an hour or I just haven't the faintest. I'm in a fog. And I get completely lost with it. And what I did notice was that I couldn't calm at all at the back end of last week. And then I found myself with, you know, with a low-level virus on Saturday. And I just wondered if there was a relationship between the two. I'm much calmer right now. And in fact, I've been chucking stuff out of my diary, although there's a big list of shoulds there. And so I find myself sort of in this mystified place as to, you know, well, where's the sodding magic? Over to you.
How about that, Mo? Where's the magic?
Oh, my God. Ask me about magic. You don't know what I'll tell you. but that's true, Rex. I mean, one minute you think you have it, and then as quick as you think, oh, yeah, I got it, then shoo, it's gone. And then you're like, oh, hell, where'd it go? Because then your mind's going 100 miles an hour again. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. So one minute you're on that gerbil wheel with your mind.
Sure.
The next minute you're off, which means you've found your place again. You're back in, and you can. And that's what sometimes they mean. Like you can. What is it? Michael's thing about without meditating. You can go there without meditating. It used to be I thought I had to go meditate in order to quiet my mind. And really, I don't. I just have to quit thinking about what I was thinking about and try to think at it differently. Because sometimes they say, just change what you're thinking. But sometimes it's kind of hard when it's staring you right in the face. Or so when you can't really think about something different, to me, I just go from inside and look at it from that other point of view. And that kind of calms me down. But now you want to talk magic. But the other night when we were in the hotel room at 2:30 in the morning, with the 100-mile-per-hour winds hitting against my window with the rain. And I did. I was, you know, saying my prayers in my head, kind of like, because I had my whole family there with us. We had three whole suites up there. And I was almost back asleep, if you can imagine that, kind of in and out of sleep. And I opened my eyes. That open your eyes. When I open my eyes, I might get kicked off the show. I saw this huge white ball. And it was like a big white ball. It was over in the corner of the room, over by the closet. And it just went like that. And that, to me, totally let me know everything will be okay and you're not alone. I know that's the magic part. But even though I was able to keep going back and forth, I was going back and forth from the gerbil wheel back inside for days. But that was really, to me, like a total comfort blanket the other night.
Thank you.
But let me ask you something, Rex. What's behind your head?
What's right. It's a chair.
It's a what?
This is the chair.
What's behind the chair?
Rex? Oh, it's a really knackered wall.
It looks very, very artistic.
It's either modern art or it's a knackered wall.
Like modern art.
It kind of looks like the map of the world a little bit. You know what you remind me of when I see you sitting there every week? You ever watch the movie Austin Powers? That guy sits in the chair and he's got the map of the world behind him.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. No, this is just a simple knackered wall. I've got to do something about the decoration. But yeah, it's a mural. It's a mural.
It looks beautiful. It looks like a map of the world. Yeah.
It did, an upside map of the world.
Thanks, Rex. Thanks. Do we have any other questions? Any other comments? Anything that's burning in your consciousness that you've been wanting to
to discuss over the last week or so. Sarah's thinking hard. See, I bet if I asked any one of you to come up with a comment or a question that you haven't got in your head now, I bet you would be able to do it.
Well, you got master control. You can see he's on there.
Here's Thomas.
Hello,
Thomas.
Go ahead, Thomas. You're unmuted.
Hi, Thomas.
Hello. I have so many questions. I'm not going to pick.
Yeah.
So, what about family relations, relations to your kids? Mm-hmm. They're not like uncertain that you're transforming somehow, and things get uneasy for them, and easy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm easy, so I just watch and see, but they're like winding themselves up. And sometimes I'm not that easy, but that's when I'm with myself, sort of. But then I'm thinking about it. Am I doing the right thing? What's happening? Am I doing this too much? Because I'm really into it. I watch like 5 hours a day, different talks and everything. So I'm so into it.
Mm-hmm.
Can it be too much? Do I have to live my life? Or is this lost in space thing?
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that your children are noticing a difference in you? And
my fiancé and people around me.
So lots of people are noticing a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And does that seem to be a challenge for them, a problem? Is that?
Yeah.
In what way, so Thomas? Is it a problem for them?
In what way? In the way that they don't recognize me as the person I used to be all the time.
Okay.
And I've been like I'm a seeker, really.
Yeah.
So I've been seeking. I can remember. And now it's Buddha, and now it's, you know.
Yeah.
So
here's what I experienced when I first began to learn the principles, is that I did slow down a lot. My speech became a lot slower. And there were a few people in my presence thought that I joined some kind of cult. You know, they were saying, are you being brainwashed? You know, you're different. And I suspect for the people that I know, like my family, it was a challenge for them to come to terms with, because they didn't know what was going on. For me, what then happened is that as I became quieter, as I became slower, the relationship started to change, in as much as me being quiet and calm created this space that we talk about. You know, there was a different energy to the space that I was around people in, and what freaked them out to start with, eventually, and my sister is a great example. Me and my sister used to have a terrible relationship. We used to fight like cat and dog, and I used to think that she knew exactly where my hot spots were, which she could touch, and I would. So I showed up differently to her. I showed up a lot quieter than and a lot less reactive than I was. And over time, not a lot of time, me being quieter had the effect of calming her down. Her in when we touch that space, people slow down naturally. It seems to be I see it all the time. It's a lot of the time in the coaching that I do, all I do is I just show up. I just am present with them, and I don't have any judgment. I don't have an agenda. I just am as present as possible. And inevitably, it seems that people slow down. Now, initially, that can be freaky if people are used to being revved up. It can be freaky if you seem different. But over a very short period of time, it's really, really beneficial to be around that space for people. And I would suggest that it's a really, really good thing, because what you're doing is you're connecting on a level that is beyond thinking. It's beyond the illusion of life. We're connecting at that level that we're all one. And that, all that comes out of that is love and compassion. That is all there is once we get rid of that. And when we connect on that level, it's the most beautiful, healing, beneficial thing that we can do for people. It's the most biggest gift we can give. So initially, it can be very challenging for people. But in the end, to me, that's all there is. That connection is all there is. We just muck it up.
Yeah, Thomas, with my girls especially, they would come around in the beginning and they'd go, "Mom, what's wrong with you?" I do nothing. They go, "Well, you're not saying anything." And normally, you know, because they're over there involved in talking about somebody or something they saw on Facebook, or they get caught up in all that drama. And I wouldn't engage, because that just wasn't me anymore. And so that was hard for them. And even for my husband at first, he would just see it that I was quieter. But now he's become quieter. And it's made all of our relationships much better, because now when we are together, it's like what Steph said. You're on a different level. You're talking and loving them for them, not about something that's going on in the outside world. So like with your fiance, when you're with her now and you're in conversation with her, it's more like Steph said, soul to soul, instead of having it be about something else that's going on. It's just about you and her. And it does, it makes everything, and it's even like me with my clients, even though I'm selling real estate with them, it's still about who they are and their needs. It's not really about the house. It's about them. And you just kind of connect at a different level, and it's instead of all that other stuff that it doesn't mean anything anymore. And that's what you're seeing. None of that matters anymore. And it's probably just lifted all that big burden off your shoulder. And was it Winston that was saying about the outside world? Everybody wants them to do or achieve because they think he's supposed to be doing something instead of what he wants to do. I mean, what makes him happy?
It's a big conflict at the same time, because sort of life is going on in the head of the others, so to say. And so it's like different places.
And I remember thinking at one point, like, do I like this new me?
Yeah.
Or do I like the more energetic mm-hmm. you know, walk in the room, life of the party person, mm-hmm. you know? But then there was a part of me is like, that wasn't the real me. That was just me being loud. Yeah. It wasn't who I really am. But I can still be loud mm-hmm. at times, but I don't have to be. And it feels good.
What I would say, Thomas, sorry, Mo, about the other person can feel challenged by initially, but that level of connection is our default position. That's our position of comfort. That's our position of love and compassion. That has an energy in itself which draws people in. So I think what you'll find and what I found is that the deeper I get into this, and I'm not always quiet, I'm not always settled, but there is such a possibility for a much deeper relationship with people, and people do respond to it. They do respond to it eventually. They do respond to it, and it is a positive response. So I it's never been a bad thing. It's in my view.
For me, it's like I love to be confused because like takes me out of the box, I would say. But people don't like me confused, because I'm supposed to know everything. I can't give them like the answers. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, it's like pointing to the right direction. It feels good with me. So maybe it's like,
I was going to say the answers.
The rings will spread to them as well. So,
yeah, it does. Really does. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, guys, I think we've reached that time again. In fact, I think we might be over time. I've really loved this call. And I just want to thank, I want to thank Lynn, or Michael, as we now know her. Lynn is the technical genius behind Living From the Inside Out, Super Coach Academy, pretty much every website that everybody has, and she is an absolute star, and she is just so helpful. So I mean, I'm going to say this on your behalf, Lynn, that if there's ever any technical problems you have with getting online, or technical problems you have with a particular program, you know, Lynn is always there to help us, because she helps us all the time. She really is the heartbeat behind the technical side. I mean, this is like a walk in the park for her. This is like a day off, you know. Yeah. So thank you.
And also, as a four, I was thinking about that when I was thinking. I think this must be my kind of sixth time round to go of Living From the Inside Out. I think I might go for a record here. Yeah. I've been doing them since the very outset. This is, yeah.
Yeah. Lynn is also an amazing three principles coach, and she does a lot of stuff on the inner circle. And if you get the chance to listen to Lynn talk about stuff, it's, believe me, take it, because it's a real treat. It really is. So thank you, Mo.
Thank you, Steph. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm going to unmute you all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bless you all.
Nice.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye. See you later.